Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning to you. It is our hump show, middle show of the work week. Jay just had a revelation. I don't want to steal your thunder, Jay. I was the one who brought up the very scintillating topic of Roger Goodell's unique middle name, which I'd never heard or seen before last hour. So you have another revelation to continue the mind-blowing nature of this edition of After Hours.
Yes, today is 4-24-24, which I just realized is the same forward and backwards.
4-24-24. 4-24. Wow. See, mind blowing. Also mind numbing. There are people out there who hate us right now. They want us to be talking about the NBA and the NHL, the hoops and hockey playoffs, which we've done, but they're ticked that we have the gall, the nerve to talk about Roger Goodell's middle name and also to do Ask Amy Anything and then to talk about numerology. Any second now. We don't always agree. But here's the thing is, I get final say. The idea, the nerve that we have to build this as a sports show and not talk about sports 24/7, that's what people are thinking right now. A few of you, I'm going to get emails, or well, not emails, strongly worded texts and tweets and Facebook posts any second now. It's coming. Some guy got mad earlier because we were using the first segment to kind of treetop, and I told a story about my students, and I don't know what else we were talking about in the first segment. We're kind of a soft open, if you will. And some guy writes on our Facebook page, "Can you just get to sports? I've got to get to work already." Oh, okay. Well, maybe pull out that handy dandy phone that you're using to post on Facebook and check out the sports yourself. Squirt.
Didn't want to hear about grumpy dolphins. I don't know.
Oh, that's right. I was a little worried about grumpy dolphins. I was trying to warn people that I'll be playing with grumpy dolphins next week and I won't be here. And no,
riveting stuff.
He was not having it.
I mean, when you find revelations like Roger Goodell's middle name and then it's 4-24-24, you can't just hide these things.
Never seen that name before ever, but I feel confident, even though we don't have confirmation from the commissioner himself, I feel confident that it's a family name. That was my first stab at it, was this has got to be a family name.
You nailed it.
Still, it's very unique. Check out my Twitter. If you've never seen Roger Goodell's middle name, and I'm telling you, you could guess 100 times and you wouldn't come up with it without Googling it, so don't cheat. But yeah, go to my Twitter, A-Law Radio. Check it out. It's a neat tradition. It's a family tradition, and I think it's awesome. I respect him even more now. I think Detroit should refrain from booing Roger Goodell on Thursday night.
I don't think that will happen.
The world might stop if they do. Fans are, I think they're pledged to uphold the tradition. You know, when you hear about these stories every now and then, when you've got a group of graduates leaving a sorority or a fraternity and they pass something down to the next group or the next class of seniors or the incoming freshman, whatever. This is a tradition that has been passed down from one draft city to the next. You now have the honor and the distinct responsibility of booing the commissioner of the NFL when he walks across the stage. The thing is, Detroit Lions fans are happier now than they've been in decades, so I don't know that they have it in them. I could be wrong, but
I think they could find it.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It is the middle show of the work week. It's our hump show. If you missed Ask Amy Anything, you can get it. Hour three of our podcast. We are now just roughly 36 hours, a little over 36 hours away from the NFL draft and Roger Goodell's night to shine. And so there's that. We will blanket you with the coverage following Thursday's first round, so you don't want to miss our show after we see the first 32 picks. It's always, it's now become, it wasn't always, but it's always these days an event, and they take plenty of time, and there are special guests, and there are bells and whistles and pomp and circumstance. So the draft will take until midnight Eastern time, midnight Detroit time. And I remember in 2019, I was part of our draft night coverage. So I was here on the air, and our show was scheduled to go from 8 to midnight Eastern, so 5 to 9 Pacific. And we wondered, would we have any time to analyze, kind of in the wake of the draft, would we be able to do an overview and, hey, this is where we were right, this is where we were wrong, this is what stands out. That was actually, what year was it that Daniel Jones got, no, not Daniel Jones. It wasn't Jones. It was, shoot, there was the Saquon Barkley draft, I think. What year was that? Was that 19?
18 or 19? I can look it up.
Okay,
quick.
Yeah. So I think it was the Saquon Barkley draft where the Giants went number two with Saquon. I believe that was the one.
18.
Okay, so it was that year when Saquon was drafted number two overall, as opposed to the Giants taking a quarterback. Remember, there was a big debate. So anyway, it was that draft, and I remember the final pick was the Patriots. So yeah, that makes sense. It was coming off of a Super Bowl win, so they had the last pick. They were choosing at 11:50 p.m. Eastern time. So we get off the air at 54 minutes before the hour, just so you know, our clock, it cuts us off at 54:42, right? That's the exact time, 54:42.
Right.
At the end of every hour, 54 minutes, 42 seconds. And I remember we just barely got in the Patriots pick, and that was it. We were done. No time to analyze, no time to say goodnight, just Patriots choose 32nd in the draft, and see ya, wouldn't want to be ya.
You have to announce the pick.
Yeah, that was it. So I've assumed now that this draft will take until midnight, which means, of course, that it puts kind of a crimp in our routine because I'm usually in the building right around that time or a little after. Jay is too. And so I don't want to listen to the last few picks on the radio, but I guess that's what I'm going to have to do. So, jerks.
Is it on? Is there covered on the radio?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
SiriusXM NFL Radio will have live, as will other networks, I'm sure. So we'll be doing that come tomorrow night. But for now, we're doing fun things like Roger Goodell's middle name, just because I saw it on the screen and thought, wait a minute, is that a misprint? I've never seen that before. And what else do we talk about? Oh, Grumpy Dolphins, of course. We've just had a good old time here on the show, on the Hump Show, getting you through the night. In honor of the NFL draft, before we get to some hoops and hockey, Mike Tomlin wants you to know he screws with you during this run-up to the draft.
Sometimes at pro days, I'm looking at people that I'm not interested in because I know everyone's watching. And so that's, to be bluntly honest, there's not a lot of my peers that work on the pro day circuit the way that I work. And so I understand my movement, what I pay attention to, who I conversate with, all becomes media fodder. And so sometimes I have fun with you guys.
How did Mike Tomlin know that fodder is one of my favorite quirky words to drop in now and then? Fantastic. I love it. So he decides that he's going to pretend to scout, to look at, to watch, to observe guys that he's not even remotely interested in just to screw with us. It's awesome. I love
that. We got to keep a lid on it.
Devious.
It is, but it's also fun. And it's so I think keeping in line with Mike Tomlin's personality, just because the media gets to screw with him throughout the course of the entire season. Well, training camp, preseason, all this stuff. He's required to do media availability and no doubt gets tired of it in 2.3 seconds later in the year, right? But this is the one time that he can just stir the pot.
Must stink, though, if you're that high school or college kid and you're like, oh, Mike Tomlin's coming here to see me. And he's not even looking at you.
Right. That's awesome. So thank you, Mike Tomlin, for admitting that it all is not as it seems. And this is why we tell you, do not believe most of what you read and hear this time of the year. But finally, our questions will be answered. And coming up later this hour, just a quick snippet with our draft analyst who joined us from L.A. roughly 2 hours ago. Asked him, what's the number one question about this NFL draft? I think there's probably a variety of answers depending upon who you ask, but he gives us a unique one. And then also how we believe or he believes the quarterbacks will be selected in that first round outside of Caleb Williams, because Ryan Poles, well, he's decided he's done playing his cards close to the vest.
We know what we're going to do, but everyone's going to have to wait till Thursday to go there.
We know what we're going to do, but everyone's going to have to wait until Thursday. Yeah, I don't think anyone's waiting with bated breath. It is no longer a secret. Yes, the Ryan Poles card, well, not card, but they have to submit it. Ryan Poles, as the GM, will be submitting his pick and the Bears' pick to Roger Goodell, number one overall. So technically, the Bears have been on the clock for months now. And yeah, we get to finally clear up any misconceptions about one Caleb Williams. The Bears are not that they know exactly how it's going to play out, but they are not thrown off track by what people are saying about Caleb. They've done their own homework. They've done their interviews. They've watched the pro day. They've done the medicals, all that jazz. And yeah, this is not a secret. They could let us know beforehand, but Ryan is saying you'll have to wait until Thursday. Fine. We will wait a little while longer. Chicago number one overall. And then the Commanders, where there's a ton of intrigue. What will they do? There's been a little bit of brouhaha over one of the quarterbacks that they're interested in Jaden Daniels, the LSU Heisman Trophy winner. So, yeah, who knows? Maybe the mystery starts there, maybe not. But I think that we're talking about an audience of at least 50 million people that's going to tune in for the first round of the NFL draft. I'm going to go with that, despite the fact that there are both NBA and NHL playoff games. And Jay, just for fun, I thought, who are the sad saps who are going to have very few people watching their games on Thursday because they're up against the NFL draft? Would you like to know?
I would love to know.
Thursday in the NBA, it's a triple header. Cleveland at Orlando. And the way that series has started, I'm not sure there's a whole lot of drama.
Juice.
Sex appeal. A whole lot of buzz.
You know, none of the above.
We like to play the game buzz or no buzz every now and then. Does this have buzz?
No.
Okay.
Buzz.
Well, so then maybe you're not missing much there. But New York, Philadelphia, need we remind you how game two between the Knicks and the Sixers ended on Monday night? So here's where there might be some conflict, producer Jay, especially in light of what the NBA has told us in the last 2 minute report. But yeah, Knicks have a 2-0 lead in this series, but it's shifting to Philadelphia. And I'm pretty sure we heard Joel Embiid very clearly when he said, we're going to win this series. We're the better team. We're going to win this series.
We're going to win this series.
Despite being in an 0-2 hole. But since we're on the topic, producer Jay, would you care to bring back the very, I mean, this was crazy, the very dramatic audio. This is the opposite of Cleveland, Orlando. The last 30 seconds of Knicks and Sixers from Monday night.
Loose ball picked up by DiVincenzo, circling at the top of the arc, into the corner. Brunson, pump fake, three-pointer, left side, front rim, gets the roll! Three-pointer is good! It's a two-point game! Knicks down two with 27 seconds to go. Inbound is knocked away by Maxey, gets the ball back, falls to the floor, stolen by Hart. DiVincenzo, three-pointer, no good. Hartenstein, the offensive rebound, he kicks it out to Anunoby. DiVincenzo again, knocks it down! Knicks lead! 13 seconds to go! Timeout, Philadelphia!
Man alive, that wasn't even the entire 30 seconds, but that was the swing from being down 5 to then being up 3, which was the final score. They had the last 8 points. We talked about it ad nauseum on our Monday night show into Tuesday morning. One of the craziest comebacks that you'll see in a long time. And they get the Jalen Brunson bouncer off the rim that goes through. Then it's a Philadelphia turnover. Now, this was Tyrese Maxey who takes the inbound. But the NBA, the powers that be, a lot of good this does after the fact, but in the interest of transparency, I guess, the NBA wants you to know that, yes, Tyrese Maxey was fouled multiple times during that sequence you just heard on Knicks radio. And, are you ready? That Nick Nurse called for a timeout the way that he's supposed to, but the referees did not see it. Now, I don't know if it changes the outcome. However, because of the tight confines of the final 30 seconds and being down 5, even if Jalen Brunson makes that 3, which again, it was a bouncer, it goes straight up and comes right down through the rim. If Tyrese Maxey does not get fouled on the inbounds, and according to the NBA, not only did Brunson grab his jersey before the ball ever came inbound, but he was then bumped by Josh Hart. And I told you on our last show, I was stunned that there was no whistle. Maxey hit the ground. And I'm all for letting guys play, but it was really clear that he got knocked over. And so I in that moment, I thought, oh, shoot, did the Sixers stop playing? Because I thought he got fouled, and I was waiting for a whistle and then wondered if I just didn't hear it as I'm watching the game. So he got grabbed by Brunson before the ball came in bounds, and then he got knocked over by Josh Hart. And so the league is saying that either one of those should have been a foul because he did end up sprawled out on the ground and then dropped the ball. And then, of course, the offensive rebound. Dante DiVincenzo hits the go-ahead 3, so it's 6 points in the span of, 15 seconds. And then you have the whole issue of the timeout. After the Jalen Brunson 3, before they ever inbounded the ball and Maxey was fouled, Nick Nurse wanted a timeout, and he was furious after the game. So was Joel Embiid, who said, Maxey did his job. This is not on him. You know, we played to win for 47 minutes and 20 something seconds. And then it, you know, essentially it was taken from us. So the NBA is admitting that there were multiple mistakes made. See, I wish the NBA would go back and do the full 48 minute report because it bothers me that they only focus on the last 2 minutes. And again, what good does it do now? It does zero good, although I suppose if you want to admit that they were wrong, great. But there were other mistakes made, and generally these mistakes even out in the wash. So it's a little bit like offensive linemen in football. Whenever there's a snap, there's holding. It happens on every single play. There is contact because it's a contact sport, or it used to be. There is contact on every single play. You could call a foul on every single play, and it would drive us berserk. We don't want that. But I also don't love the idea that it's more important in the final 2 minutes. That bothers me. People have theories. Oh, you can't call that foul in the final 2 minutes. Well, hell yeah, you can. If you would call it in the first minute, you could call it in the final 2 minutes. But also, I don't have any issues with them allowing guys to play. It's supposed to be tough and physical. As long as you're calling it the same way at both ends, that's the only thing I ask. But I did think Maxey was fouled. And so that to me was a little bit drastic. I didn't see Nick Nurse calling for the timeout, though, so I can't blame the refs for that. All right. We've got that game on Thursday night, game 3 in Philadelphia. And, yeah, Jay and I, we're going to have to be going back and forth with the DVR. We're a little bit bummed. But it does start 30 minutes before the draft, before Roger Goodell gets booed. So you'll get at least the first part of it. And then you've got commercials, plenty of commercials you can flip over. The last game on Thursday night in hoops is Denver and L.A. This one goes back to L.A. Lakers blew a 20-point lead. We got the Jamal Murray buzzer beater. But here's the thing. The defending champions have the Lakers number. They have beaten them 10 consecutive times. So who's to say that it will change in game number 3? Though probably the end of that game will go later than the first round of the NFL draft. That makes sense. In hockey, let's see if they're any smarter. And they cleared the deck on Thursday. No, but there's only 2 games. So the Panthers who now are up 2-0 on the Tampa Bay Lightning, that in-state battle, thanks to sudden death overtime. You'll hear that before the hour is up. So that's the first game. And then 30 minutes later, it's the Hurricanes, who had a very dramatic comeback Monday against the Islanders on Long Island. All right, so there is something for everyone. But I'm telling you, the NFL draft will dwarf any of the numbers for hoops and hockey. Sorry. When the NFL flexes its muscles, there's really not a whole lot anybody can do about it.
I don't even think it'll be particularly close.
Not even Caitlin Clark, as much as I think she's terrific. But speaking of Caitlin, did you hear the latest endorsement deal she signed? Wow. We'll get to that. There's just a lot to cram in between now and the top of the hour. It's because we fell down the, well, I did, and I dragged Jay with me, fell down the Roger Goodell's middle name rabbit hole. Who knew? Who knew?
Is that Where Is Roger?
Well, there was the first ever Where Is Roger chant.
Oh, I miss Sunday Night Football like that. Okay, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning to you here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Up the wall, got the clear. Mikula wrists it back in for the Panthers. That rims around the end wall, near side. Lilleberg tried to poke it away from Chuck. Loose out front. Backhand try. And they score. Carter Verhaeghe upstairs. And this one's over. The Panthers win it in overtime. 3-2 the final. Carter Verhaeghe, the game winner.
Money time.
We're a pretty loose team, and when we go into situations, whether it's do or die, and I think kind of, we just kind of leave it all out there. And like I said, it's just one play. One play, someone's got to make a play. Like Chucky made an awesome play, Lundy made an awesome play, and obviously I just finished it. But it's kind of how it goes in those situations where you're just trying to make a play, go out there, loose, have fun. And I mean, they go in sometimes, I guess.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
It can be that random in sudden death. You've got two teams that are tired, two teams that are putting it all out there, and every now and then, it doesn't matter if one team dominates, the other team can have that single stroke of genius in sudden death, and the game is done. Kaput Fine. Now, in this case, the Panthers, they're used to this with Carter Verhaeghe, and on the Panthers radio network, he's the one who, I guess, it just went in, was a backhand, right? And it went kind of top shelfish. It was pretty sweet. I do love sudden death. It's probably my favorite element of any playoff in any sport, though I do believe March Madness has the perfect setup. That's the perfect tournament, and I prefer the NFL just because of all of the attention and the buzz around it. But yeah, sudden death. Playoff hockey is, well, it gives me heart palpitations. You can feel it in your gut, especially if it's a game 7. Oh, I better not miss any of those while I'm in Hawaii, okay? Let's just agree. There'll be none of those until I get back. Paul Maurice on the bench is able to get a front row seat to Verhaeghe's ability to do this time and again in the clutch.
I can't explain it to you. It's certainly not a teachable thing. But it seems that as the energy level increases in a game, his game fits. It's just
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
It's a frequency. He operates at a very high frequency. And when a game matches that frequency, good things happen for him.
Do we operate at a very high frequency, do you think? I'm not sure.
I think so.
Okay. All right. That's a kind of a cool compliment I've not heard lately.
Good things happen.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence and producer Jay here on the Infinity Sports Network. We had a chance to catch up with draft analyst Joe DeLeon in L.A. earlier on the show. And just a couple of quick questions that a lot of people are asking in advance of Thursday's first round. What is the number one question about this 2024 NFL draft?
I think my number one question right now is what is going to happen at the second overall pick? And I, very important to say here, I don't even know if the Commanders are going to be making the selection. And I'm referring to the fact of what broke on Friday, the drama that has been unfolding with the Commanders and the Jane Daniels situation where they had a group visit with some of the quarterbacks, and it seems like that visit didn't go over very well, as it was reported by Adam Schefter. I had heard also from somebody close to the situation who confirmed that assumption that things are a bit rocky between the Commanders and Jane Daniels. So I'm curious on what happens there, because ultimately that is going to be the biggest catalyst for what happens the rest of the draft. If the Commanders decide to say, you know what, despite things not going well, we're still going to take him, that is going to set us up for what the Patriots do at three. Do they stay put? Do they take a quarterback? When do the Vikings trade up? There's just so many things that can happen depending on what the Commanders do in that second spot.
How likely are trades for other teams, say, in the second 10 who would like to get a quarterback and are interested in moving up?
Yeah, I think it's really likely that for a team like the Raiders, Broncos may be a little less aggressive now that they went and got Zach Wilson, which doesn't seem like that will dissuade them from trying to figure out their quarterback situation. But the Raiders, the Vikings, and the Broncos seem to be the most likely to make that move to trade up and go get somebody, because all of their quarterback situations are way more unsettled than some of the teams that are picking inside the top 10. I still think that the most likely and easiest one is going to be the Minnesota Vikings, whether they trade up to three with the New England Patriots, or if they move up to four with the Arizona Cardinals, or maybe even five with the Los Angeles Chargers. They have the most on the table because their picks, having 23 and also 11 in the first round, are far more valuable than what is going to be available next year. There's certainty what those picks are going to be, and this year's draft seemingly is more talented than next year. So they seem to have the most and best chance of moving up. And is it going to be Drake May or J.J. McCarthy is still a big question that we won't have answered till Thursday.
How do you think these top five quarterbacks come off the board?
Yeah, I think as of right now, I still, obviously, Caleb Williams going number one to the Chicago Bears. And then number two, despite the drama, I feel like Jaden Daniels could still end up being a Washington Commander. Three, I think if the Patriots stay put, that they're going to end up taking Drake May. And then at number four, I really think that what will happen is the Minnesota Vikings, as I kind of led in there, would end up moving up into that four spot where the Cardinals are and go and take J.J. McCarthy. The fifth for me, though, is wide open, and I would pay the closest attention to what happens at the 12th spot with the Denver Broncos. Bo Nix makes the most sense. I think he'd be the best fit for that scheme. We saw how successful Drew Brees obviously was playing for Sean Payton and how long his career was, and not a direct comparison, but you can see some similarities where both were very consistently accurate in short to intermediate areas, and I think that Bo Nix would be great for the Broncos scheme.
A lot more with Joe DeLeon of the Believe Network. He's got the first team NFL draft podcast, and they'll be doing a live show coming up during the first round. But I also asked him about the great debate of this draft and the value in this draft. We even talked defense, though most people want to talk about wide receivers and quarterbacks. So good stuff. I appreciate that we have developed over the course of the last 11 plus years such a great network of analysts and insiders and reporters and play-by-play and color announcers who are willing to hop on the show. And to that end, we're really excited about our guest for Wednesday night's show. It will be available on our podcast, of course, if you don't hear it when it airs. But Val Ackerman, who is the commissioner of the Big East, so she's not just Big East women's basketball or Big East basketball. She's the commissioner of the entire conference and all of their various teams. Big East getting a lot of attention, of course, because of UConn's back-to-back titles, but also women's college basketball in general. And I love the fact that the UConn women have got maybe the best player on their team now, with a lot of other players going to the draft or graduating. Paige Beckers is back in the center of the spotlight for the UConn Huskies. And then she was the first ever commissioner of the WNBA. So not anymore in that role, but she was there almost 30 years ago when the league launched. I cannot wait to talk to her. I've run across her and we've worked together in, you know, various years when I was doing play-by-play for the Big East, or when I was just traveling around doing play-by-play in women's basketball. So I do know her. We're familiar with one another. We've had conversations before, but this will be the first time for her joining our show here after hours. So really psyched to talk to her and to hear how she describes the women's college basketball season that was, with Caitlin Clark, who is apparently going to sign a $28 million deal with Nike. Good for her. That is awesome. She's blazing a new trail. She's setting records left and right. But this one comes off the court as a reward for what she did on the court. Wall Street Journal and The Athletic both reporting that she will get a signature shoe, that the contract covers the next 8 years. So they think she is worth the 8 years, that she has staying power that will translate to the WNBA. $28 million. Her agency is about to get a whole lot of pub for this one. XL Sports Management. Good for her. So she actually did have an NIL deal, but it expired when she graduated. And so this new deal with Nike would be the richest contract for a women's basketball player in the history of sponsorships. I mean, she's already sold more jerseys than, what is it, every player on the Dallas Cowboys combined or something like that. That's crazy.
Ouch.
I know. So she also had Under Armour and Adidas who were interested, although we don't know the numbers that they were offering, other than kind of ballpark. But Nike blew them out of the water. What I'd heard is that it's actually $10 million more than what the other companies were willing to offer her.
I heard Steph Curry was involved in Under Armour's pitch to her.
Nice. How do you turn down Steph Curry? Do you know who else is Under Armour? Tom Brady is Under Armour, or was.
Now?
I don't know if he is anymore, but he was Under Armour too. They've got some Jordan Spieth is Under Armour too. At least he was. So they've got some pretty high profile athletes. How do you turn that down?
I like Under Armour personally. So.
I do too. But I suppose if the money is so much higher with Nike. Yeah. So good for her. Excited. She already made $3 million in NIL money when she was at Iowa. So it kind of cracks me up when people say she should take the money from the Big Three, because she's making so little in terms of her salary in the WNBA. But it doesn't matter, because she's making buku bucks and infinitely more with endorsements. She does not have to make any more decisions based on money. She's good as long as she manages it well. And I'm happy for her. Nike believes she has staying power, so I hope that answers a lot of the questions about her. All right, coming up from the WNBA to the actual, I don't know why I said that, from the WNBA to the NBA, it's just a different league, strike the actual from the record. We got a couple of series that are even now, which is good, and also a career night for a different Timberwolf. A career night for a different wolf, not named Cat or Ant. All right, that should do it.
So an ant?
No.
Oh, a wolf.
Not named Cat or Ant. No, it's a wolf. It's a different wolf.
Not an ant.
Not an ant.
No bugs.
Ew, no bugs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
After Hours Podcast.
Now bounce pass, Irving to Luka in the lane. Left corner, Washington for three. Got it! How about that from PJ Washington? Second three in the quarter, 16 in the game. Mavericks again by 8, 84-76. On the drive, George tried to strip him. Luka got it back. To the right to Kleba. Open for three. Got it! Maxi Kleba in game two against Utah. Remember 2 years ago he had 8 three-pointers. Tonight, his second one, monstrous. 87-81. 7 to shoot. 6, 5, 4, trying to drive and step back for three. Hit it! And Luka letting the crowd know in a timeout by Tyronn Lue.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of a crazed Chuck Cooperstein, a friend of mine, on the Mavericks Radio Network. And why not? This was a tight game between the Mavs and the Clippers taking place in L.A., and one in which neither team led by more than 10. And right there makes it a game worth watching, considering that we often have blowout city within the confines of a 7-game series. Too many blowouts. So I'm good with a game in which neither one goes up by 10, and actually neither team scores 100 points.
Both teams were under 100. It was 90s basketball at its best.
That's the assessment of Jason Kidd. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. A 14-0 run by the Mavericks in the fourth quarter is what made the difference. So they go from down a handful to up. And Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, they hit some magnificent shots. Though Luka, he's the one, right? Doesn't matter how you guard him. When he is on, he's nearly automatic. And they were seeing this game as a must-win, as you can imagine.
We had to make noise in the second game, you know. First game wasn't our best game, so we had to come out here and prove that we can play with them.
Now, the Clippers did get Kawhi Leonard back on the court. He played 35 minutes. It was a slower burn to start the game, though. Only 4 points in the first half. He was 0 for 5 from beyond the arc. He did finish with 15 and 7 rebounds, and I'm sure they're glad to have him back, but I'm excited about him finding that flow again. Also, Paul George was in foul trouble, which didn't help.
Just been rehabbing, trying to get on the floor. But, you know, we still got more games to play, more time to get better. And, you know, that's what I'm focused on.
I thought he did a good job. You know, I thought he didn't try to force anything in that first half. I thought he just let the game come to him. And then in the third quarter, I think we got down 9, and he kind of just took over the game as far as scoring the basketball, offensive rebounds, steals, and things like that. And so if we play that hard, like I said, we're in great shape. And so, you know, they came in and won a game, which we didn't play our best. And so we'll be ready to go to Dallas. We'll be ready on Friday.
Yeah, he's still a great two-way player, and so I should mention he also had 4 steals and a block as well. So Kawhi Leonard, just by virtue of his athleticism and his size, he's got reach, better than good defensive player. And maybe he's lost a step. He used to be the best two-way player in the NBA, so maybe he's not quite that anymore with all the injuries, but you're better with Kawhi Leonard on the court. So it's good to see him. But both teams played pretty strong defense. Clippers only shot 37% in this one. And it was a lot of fun, as I say, to see this tug of war between these two teams in the West. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. In the other series that was taking place in the West, I don't know what's going on with the Suns, but they have zero answers, whether it's Anthony Edwards, who went off in game number one. They limit him. I wouldn't say they lock him down, but they really limit him in game two. Instead, it's Jaden McDaniels that burns them. 25 points, a career high for Jaden, 8 rebounds. And so he ends up with nearly as many points as Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards combined. And yet that's still enough for the Minnesota Timberwolves to take a 2-0 lead on the Suns.
It's a great feeling. I mean, not playing last year, I was like kind of antsy to play this, like the first game and this game. So just being in this environment and being in the playoffs, I mean, it's like a dream come true for me.
Playing with a lot of force. You know, finishing strong around the basket and being confident in shot, and you know, and the job he's doing on the other end of the floor is, you know, fighting through every single screen, getting hit a bunch. You know, I just thought he had a special performance tonight, really special.
Do you guys remember why he didn't participate in the playoffs last year? Jay, do you remember the story?
He
was angry and punched a wall and broke his hand.
Classic.
Yeah, so because of that, he was unable to play last year with the Wolves in the postseason. And I don't know if it would have changed things. But yeah, I like how he just kind of says being unable to play last year. You can imagine that's the type of lesson you do not soon forget. So good for him. And as for the Suns, I mean, this is rough because Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, this is supposed to be the big three. That's what they're called, sort of. They go 18 of 45 against that Minnesota defense, so really don't play well. But Frank Vogel is sure that this is not the end of the Suns.
We got a great team.
All right. We got a great team. Devin Booker says the same thing, though this team has really kind of fizzled in the second half. Only 42 points, which is about the same as what they had in the second half of the opener.
Don't count us out. You know, it's a series for a reason. You know, I don't think any road team's won so far. You know, I know that doesn't have anything to do with us, but, you know, it's just a situation that it is.
All right, back to the drawing board. I heard producer Jay in the newsroom earlier talking with a fellow Nets fan in which they were giggling over the fact that KD lost again.
That's all we got.
Unfortunately, you can't say the same thing about Kyrie, though.
No, unfortunately not. One of them had to win.
And of course, I'm being tongue-in-cheek
because
I don't care. But James Harden, true to form again, goes 2-for-10 from beyond the arc. And actually, none of the Clippers shot well from deep on Tuesday night. But
I'm not a system player. I am a system.
Just ew. Just ew. All around ew.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, bruh. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. While we're talking West, you've got the 8 seed and the 1 seed, the Pelicans and the Thunder, who will tip off again tonight. And this was a really good game. It was a close game in the opener. Still no Zion Williamson, though. And actually, he was having a hard time watching game one on the bench.
Man, I love hooping. I really love hooping. So, you know, it was bittersweet for me. If I'm being honest, it was really bittersweet because the whole time I just kept, like, envisioning myself out there, my impact on the game. But at the same time, I had to put aside my personal feelings and be there for my teammates. But the energy was the energy was great. OKC's fans really came out, and it was a playoff environment.
So for Zion, this is tough. It reminds me of, well, really any athlete would probably tell you the same thing. He was highly competitive, but how Klay Thompson was when he missed the better part of 2.5 years with the Warriors and how hard it was for him to sit in the arena and watch the team as much as he wanted to be out there. Now, Zion did say he's definitely hopeful that he can return this series, though right now with that hamstring, they don't have any timetable or any definitive. He's still working on passing all the tests. Still nothing on Giannis other than he's there on the bench. And the kind of roller coaster ride for the Bucks, it has returned because even though they get another, I think it was 35 points from Damian Lillard last night, or no, 34, excuse me, they can't match up with the Pacers who found that stroke again. How about Pascal Siakam? He already has 73 points in the first two games for the Pacers, and maybe that's what will be the difference because he was traded to the Pacers back in January. So good stuff. Tonight, you'll finally hear from Brock Purdy. I teased it. I didn't get to it. I'm sorry. I will make it up to you. Have a great Wednesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.